Somebody sprung the captive consumers from their winter holding pens. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When the weather got a little better last month, consumers went shopping. The Commerce Department this morning said retail sales went up 1.1% in March, the biggest jump in a year and a half. Eugenio Alemán is senior economist at Wells Fargo in Charlotte. Mr. Alemán, good morning.
Good morning.
This looks like a very strong retail sales report for March.
Yeah, the vengeance of consumers. They were stuck in their homes in December and January, and then they decided to spend all the money in March.
Even revised February upward a little bit, which also may help the economy. I see strength for cars and trucks, but also the big box retail stores had a good month.
Almost everything. The few exceptions were miscellaneous retail stores and electronics and appliance stores. But overall, across the board, from auto sales, everything was very strong.
This really helps us answer the great question of the past 3 or 4 months, which is the lousy weather obscuring a weaker economy or a recovering economy? Sounds like it's the latter.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I am a two-handed economist. So on the one hand, very strong consumer. But on the other hand, the economy remained very weak, because other sectors of the economy, other than the consumer, were very, very weak. So we're expecting the first quarter to be a wash.
I'll take a two-handed economist any day. It's the three-handed economist that I sometimes talk to. On the one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand. Those are the ones who set me back. Eugenio Alemán at Wells Fargo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bloomberg News is reporting that the European Parliament could vote as early as tomorrow about new restrictions on high-speed trading in financial markets. The concern is that hardware and software that lets some financial players buy and sell within split seconds could mask insider trading and other abuses. In the U.S., a cross-section of regulators and law enforcement officials are also looking into the practice. Now, recess, a time for the unruly to horse around in the schoolyard. For members of Congress, recess is a time for the unruly to go looking for money, especially during an election year. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
It's spring break for Congress, so you're thinking Mai Tais on the beach, right?
No, probably not, especially not in eastern Washington.
Riva Littman is a staffer with the House Republican Conference. When I called, her boss, Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, was making the long trip back to Spokane to talk to voters about the economy and Obamacare.
It's not much of a recess for the members of Congress. They're just in their own districts as opposed to in the Capitol.
And with elections coming up, there will be plenty of campaigning and fundraising, too. My congressman, Democrat John Sarbanes of Maryland, plans to spend the break pitching his campaign finance reform bill.
Talking to people in neighborhoods around my district, explaining what this legislation does to help get their voice back in the mix.
Not that he expects it to pass in this divided Congress. Another thing about an election year, Sarbanes says it's even harder to get any real compromise. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
France, some companies and labor unions have come up with a plan to give certain employees a daily rest from emailing, texting, or other electronic communication, an 11-hour rest. If approved by the French government, the limits would apply to about 250,000 consulting, software, and other workers. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is following the story in Paris. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So how would this rule work? There'd be certain hours of the day that the boss could not send email?
It's not clear. What we can say for sure is that it's not nearly as bad or as dramatic as has been portrayed. There is a kernel of truth, though, in it. I mean, there is an agreement now between two unions and two employers groups representing mainly tech workers. What it stipulates is that companies that employ these tech workers must give them the opportunity to turn off their phones, emails, whatever, in their downtime. And, you know, the principle above all is that if they choose to do that, that cannot be held against them.
This could be seen as a reaction to some kind of frustration in the workplace, the idea that our work lives are now spread across 24 hours.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, there's no question that it is a from a perspective, a kind of what the French would call an Anglo-Saxon perspective. This is a typical bit of French stretching regulation into areas where it doesn't need to be. But, I mean, of course, from a French perspective, what this is about is protecting employees who sometimes have to work very, very long hours and giving them the right to say, right, I'm stopping now. The people involved are the furthest you could imagine from the caricature of the communist voting French manual worker who downs tools and retires at 50. I mean, the people involved in all this are people who are used to going to a company, sitting up all hours, and I think the idea is to protect these people from burnout. That, I think, is more of the problem, to stop people working too much. You know, undoubtedly, other unions, other parts of the labour market are looking at this and seeing if it can be extended and create a precedent into other areas of the economy as well.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Volkswagen of Germany and at least one German government ministry have also limited email during certain hours to help employees avoid the sense that they're at work every single moment of their lives. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.